This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the new media production studio designed by Audimute.com in Coldwater, Michigan. The lead stories are, did you get your sweetie's Valentine's text today? AT&T is giving you an extra 15 gigs at the pleasure of charging you another $10 for it. Bill Gates and Elizabeth Warren having a little discussion about wealth inequality and the secret life of a Google contract worker. I want to welcome you to episode 1404 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, November 7th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider by becoming a Geek News Central insider. We're live at geeknewscentral.com. We're on Facebook. We're on YouTube Live. We're on Twitch. We're on Twitter. We're just about everywhere a podcast can be, for being live, that is. So anyway, welcome to the show, everyone. And those of you that are listening later, who cares, right? You're getting this thing on demand. It's your convenience. But for those of you that are in the live audience today on Facebook, make sure you say hello. That's the only place I'm monitoring the chat room. So I want to thank everyone for just checking in on the live streams. Definitely appreciate it. But if you're a brand new listener to the show, I want to thank you. And I hope that you take time to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out the website. And then when you're on there, I'm pushing the wrong buttons here, make sure that you get subscribed to the podcast. And you can do that via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, by subscribe on Android, Stitcher by email, standard RSS feed. If you have no idea what I'm talking about getting subscribed to the show, don't worry. Just click on the more subscribe options. We take you through the ways to get subscribed to the show. And of course, while you're on the website, go scroll down a little bit further, get signed up for our newsletter. Our newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about in the show today. Gets emailed directly to your inbox. You can set up a rule for it, put it in a folder. It's there for you to have all the great links of all the great content that I go over. So definitely check that out on the website as well. Of course, you can listen to the show on blueberry.com. You can listen on your smart home device by saying the keyword and the words, play the podcast, Geek News Central. That gets you going. It gets you started on most smart home devices. That's usually the golden ticket. Of course, you can join our chat room at geeknews.chat or on Slack. And of course, we are now on Discord. Someone was saying that the link to the Discord invite is dead. I will try to update that tonight to make sure that there is a link in there that does not expire. But of course, you can email me directly, geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. That's the best way to reach out. Either one of those two locations, or of course, you can send me a message or follow me on Facebook. Partner shows include, and these are all linked at geeknewscentral.com, the GNC Week in Review by Kurt Corliss, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, the Pro Gear site being written by my team, the new media show, which is produced by myself and Mr. Rob Greenlee, which there will be no show this coming Saturday because Rob is in Canada doing some podcasting event, and of course, the podcast Legend shows. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Chris, we want to thank our longtime sponsor. That's our good friends at GoDaddy. They sent me the update this morning on what we did for the month. A little low. We need your help to get the numbers up. We're heading towards Christmas. And you can give the gift of a website to a family member or friend. It's an awful great deal. $12. Get them started. Hand it over. But of course, hand them the keys to the car so that at the end of the year, they can continue and pay the ongoing subscription. But pick up a domain name, save 30% on products or services. Really, it's really a no-brainer. I've got you the best deal. You just can't beat the deal that I've got available for you. It's $1 a month economy hosting for the first year with a free domain, $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. These two deals alone are the best deals in the entire web space as far as it comes to getting hosting accounts. I dare you find something better. $12 get you started for a full year and get you a free domain worth $8.49. No one is going to give you a hosting account for a year for it's the equivalent of $3.50. So go ahead, launch a basic website, $1 a month economy hosting first year with a free domain, $1 a month managed WordPress hosting again for the first year of the free domain. If you're already a customer, grab that 30% off on new product purchases. Don't forget about the $499.com. And if you're a business owner and you want to relaunch your website and you really don't want to pay someone to build it for you, you can do a free trial of the GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. All available. All those codes are available at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Check them all out. Use them. Share them with your friends, family members, people that you know. We want you to make sure that you're promoting the codes that keeps the lights on here and actually pays the gas bill. That's something new. I got the gas bill, first gas bill, not bad. But I've been freezing here today, and it's only 30. Actually, it was 29 out earlier, and I kept bumping the heat in the studio today. I kept bumping it up. Finally, I got it to 73, and I actually felt comfortable. But what I have come to realize is I love wearing polo shirts, and it's not going to cut it, but I don't like flannel. So I spent a little time on Amazon and looking for some clothes because I nothing worse going to a clothes store. So I picked out 3, 4, 5, 6 shirts, some t-shirts. So yeah, it sucks, but I have to winterize my wardrobe. And it's not even cold. And I didn't have to worry about this living in Hawaii, about freezing. But I've been froze all day and then it got too hot. So I had to crank it back down. So yeah, my gas bill for heat is going to suck just because I'm getting climatized to cold weather. My blood is awful thin. So you need to help me with GoDaddy to make me help pay the gas bill. So geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We'll call it the Todd Winter In program. All right. So thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here of the Geek News Central podcast. All right, so what's going on? Get you guys back fed. My move-in's done. I finished organizing. Some shelves came. A shoes rack. I had shoes everywhere. A shoes rack came. Got that kind of cleaned up. And everything's kind of like, I moved in. I'm good. And I have all this space. I'm thinking, man, I could open a club in this thing. I could put a dance floor in. It's so big. It's ridiculous how much space I have. And, it could almost be subdivided into like a half and there still would be enough room. But, one thing I am, even though I've only got 12 down, 3 up, it's enough with a little buffering once in a while to watch Netflix and Amazon. I noticed that Netflix is better at buffering than Amazon is. So Netflix has been pretty good. So enjoyed watching some movies. But this Saturday, my sister's got me going up with her and her husband. We're going up to Michigan State. There's an ag tech conference. I'm going to be going there, doing a little podcast business, and then going to the Michigan State game, probably freezing again. But here's the most important part, folks. I stepped on the scale because my scale's been packed. Got my scale unpacked, put new batteries in it, stepped on the scale, and I was like, could be better, could be worse. So far, so good on the weight. And the mystery has been solved. Oh. Decline. I can't talk to you right now. Of course, my iPhone's in the other room, and the Mac is hooked up, and to the, I cannot talk right now. I'm going to have to send her a message. All right. So, where was I at? The missing Canon batteries. I don't know if I've talked about it or not, but I could not find the the Canon batteries. And I got like 6 or 7 of them. And I'm like, I've tore everything apart. It's become very annoying. And I gave up. I just said, okay, they're gone. It was the only set of batteries gone. And I was talking to my son on the phone, and I said to him, I said, when I left, you only had 2 Canon batteries. I said, how did you find any Canon batteries in the house? Oh yeah, I found them all over the house. I'm like, uh-huh. Well, how many do you have? He says, like 7. And I'm like, okay, when I come home for Thanksgiving, I want 5 of those. It's like $300. So I think the mystery, partial mystery of the Canon batteries have been solved. So I'm good there, and I keep my fingers crossed. Let's see here. The ISP that I have here, I don't know what's going on, but it's like every third day I'm seeming to have to reset the whole stack. And I don't know if it's a combination of my router, if it's the ISP, or what's going on. See, if I unplug everything, reset it. Of course, that takes, 5-10 minutes, because you got to wait for the cable modem to shut off. And then you got to wait a minute, plug it back in. It syncs back up. Then you turn the router back on, and everything goes back up to full speed. And it's like every third day. So it's driving me crazy. I never had to reset my modem that often before, but just seems the way it is here. It's just very, very odd. Another thing, too, is that this location has no front signage. I'm not advertising. I've decided to get a sign, though. I've got a quote out to have one put on the building. It's going to be by appointment only. But when I come into the office in the studio here, when I walk in the morning, I have to lock the door, because it seems that everyone wants to peek their head in here. It's like, it's really not too much in this strip. There's only 3. It's my sister's to the right, a company to the left, and just me. And we're frosted over. It doesn't look like it's a business entrance. And yet people look in the door, open the door, and looking in here. And I'm at the point where I have to lock the door, or I'm going to have people trying to step in all day. And I guess it's to be expected, but it's just a little weird, because it didn't happen the first 3 or 4 months, but it seems like just recently it's happened a lot. So that's the way it is. Okay, I'm looking here. Apparently my daughter can't reset her email, and I do not see. She sent a password reset to my email, and there is no, let me see here. Okay, I do not see a link. Sorry, folks. Don't know why she's got my account as her password backup, but anyway, we'll keep an eye out. All right, so that's what's going on here. And then we'll get into the stack of content tonight. But everyone, thanks for being here. Those of you that have joined me, Bob, thanks. Kirk, how you doing? Bob says, people have wintered here for years, still need to get used to the lower temperatures. In February, you'll think of 30 degrees as a heat wave. Not after spending 22, 23 years in near constant 80 degree weather. I don't know if that's going to be the case, Bob, but we will see if that is actually it. All right. So let me go ahead and move over here and make sure I'm on the right link. And oh my God, she's driving me crazy. Okay. 1 hour. I'll call you. She sent it to geek@geeknewscentral.com. All right. So a ton of people today received a message from all the carriers, Sprint, T-Mobile, Verizon, but it appears that a ton of messages that were sent on Valentine's Day got caught in some sort of text purgatory. And so a bunch of people received text messages that appeared to have been sent on around Valentine's Day 2019. And they had never been, the senders had never gotten a notice that they weren't delivered. You know how sometimes you get a, something says the text didn't go through. But delayed messages were sent and received from both on both iPhones, Android phones, and messages seemed to be sent and received across all major carriers. So somewhere there is like a common, you would think these would all be separate, but it's not. It's like one common place where all these messages go and then get ferried out. So it is kind of interesting here that this happened. So can you imagine having not gotten an email or text from your beloved that said, "Happy Valentine's, baby"? You'd be kind of disgruntled that the person didn't send you a Valentine's and then to get it in November. So I wonder how many breakups were caused because someone didn't get their duly message from their loved one. Finishing off a Red Bull here, ladies and gentlemen. AT&T, you got to love these folks. They're just the favorite punching bag. So AT&T customers subscribe to the company's mobile share value offering are reporting that they're getting an additional 15 gigs of mobile data. These have been added to their plan. Just, you know, here you go. Here's 15 gigs of additional data. But it appears this bonus is also costing them an additional $10 per month. Sounds like AT&T is the one getting the bonus and not the customers. Even the support document takes a liberal interpretation of the B word. Enjoy more data. Starting with your October bill, you'll get an additional 15 gigs of data on your mobile share plan. The bonus data comes with a $10 price increase. These plans, according to this report, were not cheap to begin with the least expensive option being $100 per month before fees and taxes for 20 gigs of rollover data. Now it's $110 a month for 35 gigs. The fact that all mobile share value plans offer rollover data makes the need for additional monthly data even more dubious. The whole point is that the customer can accrue several gigabytes of fallback on during months of heavy use. So it is pretty amazing here that AT&T can just, on a dime, raise the prices of these customers. Now, they're real famous at that. Other bonuses AT&T has given its customers include throttling. Yes, throttling unlimited plans and hiking TV subscriptions twice this year. They got to pay for all this stuff they bought and all this money they're losing. So AT&T says customers have the choice to change their plans at any times and can always contact us with questions to understand their options. So in other words, there's no way to keep the original plan. It's likely that AT&T made this move in hopes of customers moving to unlimited plans, which are cheaper than the mobile share value plans, but some of those plans have their own catches, like throttled data after 22 gigabytes or 50 gig cap, disabled tethering and 480p streaming. So again and again, AT&T sticks it to their customers, and some customers on plans they don't want them on. Now, I haven't been watching mainstream news, so I really wasn't aware of this, but this popped in tech circles today. And I don't know the details of Elizabeth Warren's tax plan, but it's when Bill Gates starts talking about it and makes the tech rounds, I'm kind of surprised because we don't see too much political stuff coming into the tech news cycle. But I guess Bill Gates and Elizabeth Warren are tweeting at each other about wealth inequality. And Gates said on wealth tax, and this is being reported by someone, I guess there's a video out there. He says, "I paid over $10 billion in taxes. I paid more than anyone in the country in taxes. If I had to pay $20 billion, it's fine." Then he goes on to say, "But when you say I should pay $100 billion, then I'm starting to do a little math over here of what I have left over." And then it goes on. someone asked him whether he'd meet with Elizabeth Warren. He says, I'm not sure how open-minded she is or that she'd ever even be willing to sit down with somebody who's large amounts of money. It goes on to discuss where she was at some event and poo-pooed that these billionaires were complaining about her. She's, and her tweet says, I'm always happy to meet with people, even if we have a different view at Bill Gates. If we get the chance, I'd love to explain exactly how much you'd pay under my wealth tax. I promise it's not $100 billion. And then Bill Gates replied, I greatly respect your commitment to finding ways to address wealth inequality and poverty at home. While we may disagree about some of the ways to get there, we certainly agree we need a lot of smart people committed to finding a path forward. I'm always willing to talk about creative solutions to those problems. But it doesn't appear that the Elizabeth Warren, Bill Gates, Wealth Inequality Bear Summit extravaganza will be happening imminently. Perhaps the two will talk soon. But apparently, and I didn't know this was such a big deal, it goes on to talk about how Wall Street is freaking out because, you know, they're going to get hammered. The people that work over there that make a bunch of money. So, $100 billion? Can you imagine having to pay $100 billion in taxes? That would just want to make you go shoot yourself, right? What's he got, a billion? And they want to take $100 million? He already paid taxes on the earnings. Now he's getting taxed on the investments. I don't fully, again, I'm not an accountant. I don't understand how that all works. But, I saw something where he was heavily involved in attempting or has pretty much eradicated polio. He's working on clean sanitation, invested a whole bunch of money in trying to get toilets that would actually take care of the doo-doo. And so instead of just dumping it in the river, because so many kids are dying from diarrhea, largely this vicious cycle of exposure to human waste and other things. So, you know, Bill's doing a lot of good stuff in the world. And, you know, when you tax that money, and the government always will spend our money more wisely than we will, right? Just makes you wonder. He's a smart dude. This guy is a voracious reader. And if he... You know, from what little I've read about him, is that if he asks you a question, he probably already knows more about it than you do, but he's just looking for trying to get additional stuff out. My understanding is he reads as many as 10 books a week. He's pretty much a speed reader and has like 90% retention. The guy is brilliant. You know, if all of us had like 10% of his brain power, we conquer the world. We really, really would. So when Bill Gates get worried about someone taking $100 billion of his tax dollars, it makes you go, just a little bit. The secret and frustrating life of a Google contract worker. And this is, you know, I have some contract workers and we don't, you know, we're not shy about saying that at all. Matter of fact, we love our contract workers. We got some folks that do some tremendously good work for us. And, but apparently, if you are a Google contract worker, you are encouraged not to say that you're a Google contract worker. And this is a very, very, it's actually sad. There's a story about a gentleman by the name of Kevin, and I'm going to destroy his name, Kerbosky. And he's saying that he had a lofty title. It was called Expeditions Associate. It was a fun job. He got to demo a Google virtual reality gear to young students. And when he was visiting schools, he wore a gray T-shirt with a cartoon whale and a Google logo. But sometimes the company's reputation made things awkward once a teacher confronted him. He says, how do you feel walking in here showing stuff when you know you're making so much more than all of us. He had to tell her, he said, I only make $40,000 a year. He left out another fact that he didn't actually work for Google. He worked for a Nashville firm, Vaco Nashville LLC, and they were one of the several staffing and contract firms Google uses. He resigned in October and had sent out a blistering internal email criticizing the disparities of Google's two-tiered workforce. While Google's use of contract labor has received more attention in the past year, the company continued to take steps that meant contractors were, quote-unquote, left out of conversation and affect our lives. You know, Mike, all that everyone that we have at Blueberry that's on that is a contract, and we hire first from our contract pool. That's where we fill. If we have a position we can give somebody, we fill that way. Dave is one of our support guys, was a prime example of that. He was a contract worker, and I was able to bring him on full time last month. So we do what we can to bring those team members on full time, but our contractors are all in the same channels we are. We can have the same conversations. They don't feel excluded. I can't direct them what to do from that. They all have their tasks. They know that they are assigned, that they do on their own. But it's nice to have the back and forth chit chat with them. But it goes on to talk about his working as a Google contractor and some of the weird things that were going on, and how he was actually sometimes escorting people that were actually coming in as Google employees, and they were trying to ask him about the benefits, and he would have to kind of like tell them, no, I'm not a full-time, I'm a contractor, I don't get the same benefits you're going to be getting, even though he's escorting people around a campus. So it's pretty eye-opening story. So as much money as Google makes, you think that they wouldn't have as many contract workers as they do. T-Mobile's 5G network will go live on December 6th. And they've got some big numbers, but it's dependent on the carriers completing the Sprint merger. But T-Mobile's saying it will activate its 5G network. The carrier announced today during a live stream. It's dedicated to its upcoming merger with Sprint. And according to CEO John Legere, 200 million customers will have access to the network on day one, with 5,000 cities and towns covered before the end of 2009. And the company also plans to market the initiative as 5G for good, likely in an effort to drum up additional support for its merger with Sprint. And they're also doing some stuff to try to sweeten the pot by giving a bunch of people a bunch of 5G access. And I'll get to that here in a little bit. But sounds like T-Mobile's ready to go. And I'm sure some of that is combined with Sprint's numbers. Red wine. We all like a glass of red once in a while. There's very few people that don't like red wine. So red wine is launched to the International Space Station for science. So a European startup recently launched some of the red stuff to the International Space Station to age in space for 12 months. It's less a tasting test than a true science experiment, as there's very little research on winemaking in space. And of course, wine creators don't yet know how the taste and composition of wine changes while aging in weightlessness environment. The astronauts and everything else on the space station experience. Space Cargo Unlimited will investigate how space radiation and microgravity affects wine components during the aging process. Because you know what? If we ever leave the Earth's mighty bounds and travel to Mars, they're going to want a little bit of red wine. Now, they're actually sent a bottle. They actually sent a bottle of wine. They're nothing fancy, but an actual bottle of wine to space in a special container, of course. So pretty cool. I'm sure it was waterproof as well, because that would be something suck. It would suck bad if you broke a bottle of red wine at the International Space Station. That would be a little hard to clear up. Tony Blair. Well, remember him? Well, U.S. and Europe need a common position on Chinese tech. He was speaking at the Web Summit. And the former prime minister urges politicians to get tech regulation right. We all know that Chinese tech, largely from stealing from everyone else, is experiencing something of a boom. Now, he didn't say that. I ad-libbed that. He said Chinese tech is experiencing something of a boom, and it would be fair to say the U.S. and Europe are unsure how to react. One thing that would be really good is for America and Europe to work out how they actually cooperate in the technology sphere and how they make sure then in respect to China, and as China rises, they take a common position, he said, speaking at the WEB summit in Lisbon on Wednesday. China is a source of much of the cutting-edge research and development technology in areas such as phones, artificial intelligence, and genetics. Now, that's the scary one. But given how vastly different the political system is from the U.S. and Europe, the regions need to work out how to closely they're prepared to work together. And he says the most important thing for the United States and Europe is to win the tech race. Well, with the way things are going in school, I don't know if that's going to happen. We're not teaching our kids how to be competitive in the tech world. And we really aren't. I'm looking at, you know, what's being taught in this local curriculum here, and I just shake my head. I really do. We need to be making kids a little more competitive in this space. We really, really, really do. Mike, I don't know if they included a corkscrew. I don't think they're going to drink it there. I think just going to let it age, but if they send a corkscrew, it might come back empty. All right. I'm just the messenger here. But according to space.com, November full moon, how to see the beaver moon in meteoroids. Apparently, the full moon in November is called the beaver moon and will shine in the constellation of Aries on November 12th, the same day as the peak of the northern torrid meteorite shower, and a day after Mercury transits the sun. The moon officially becomes officially full for observers on the East Coast on November 12th at 8:34 a.m. Well, that doesn't do much good. But the evening of the 12th, we will have a full moon, and apparently it's going to be quite the sight because it's going to be also in conjunction. You know, it's actually best to be like at minimum to see a meteorite shower. We don't need a big bright moon because it'll obscure the display from all the meteorites striking the atmosphere. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes on that. So we'll see if we have a nice clear night on the 12th to see this quote unquote beaver moon. Okay. Lifehacker has got some suggestions on how you can improve searches. So if you want to improve searches in your browser, there's some cool changes you can make. You can even set your browser up to search Geek News Central specifically. I think you all should follow these instructions and make sure you have the ability to search Geek News Central directly. CNET has its camera list out. Best camera gear and cameras to gift for the holiday 2019 season. It's got a list of a lot of great cameras. Now, here's something that was really interesting. I got an email from a company said, we'd like you to review this product before Black Friday. We're going to have a special going on. And I said, well, based on my schedule, you have to have and this was like Monday, you need to have the device here by Friday. And it's a pretty expensive unit, a couple hundred dollars. And I said, I'll review it and I'll talk about your Black Friday special. But yeah, I'm going to want one to give away to the audience. They agreed to that. There was really no catch. And I ought to give it a fair review, and we'd have gave one away, but they couldn't get one here by Friday. So I'm just telling you, when you see stuff on the internet right now, when it comes from sources that you don't trust, be aware that the reviews could be tainted. You know, when I do a review, I'm going to give you my honest opinion about stuff, and I'm going to lay it out on the line for you. But if you're seeing reviews by stuff in around the holidays, and it's from a source that you don't fully have details on, and it's tied to some giveaway, just be aware that the person doing the review, number one, got one, and they're giving one away. So they got a twofer. Just be aware of that, okay? I'm not going to pull any punches with stuff that I get, that I share with you, but some folks may not. So anyway, this best camera review from CNET, I'll have the link up in the show notes. What's their supposed best camera review? If you've got a Ring doorbell, did you know they just did an update? It prevents your neighbors from stealing your Wi-Fi. Apparently, there was a bug, and it's been known for quite a while. So while you're passing out candy to trick-or-treaters this Halloween, you probably weren't concerned about little goals stealing your Wi-Fi passcode via that handy video doorbell. Well, apparently this was possible. Ring has been aware of the issue and has now patched this bug. But again, it's been around for 4 or 5 months. This is no surprise. They were made aware of this flaw in June. Don't like the idea of someone have access to my Wi-Fi. When you're in a house, off the road, it's not an issue. But if you've got one of these, if you live in the city and you've got one of these Ring doorbells, someone be in your network, you know? And if they're in your network, they easily can roam around. So it's important that these Internet of Things have the ability to update themselves, and at least this one does. And in a very, very cool review, which doesn't talk too much about what actually happened, the Air Force has put Lockheed Martin laser weapon to the test. And they did a test here in the last few days where they were going after drones, swarms of drones, different kinds of approaches of drones. And apparently the laser called Athena has done its duty and did a good job. So the Athena system locked onto and shot down multiple small drones of both fixed wing and rotary-like variety. No real details on total numbers. I'm sure that'll never come out. But as you know, lasers don't really blow things up. They just burn through the outer layer and into the guts of a system. And in 2017, Lockheed Martin demonstrated a combined beam filter laser. It fired nearly 60 kilowatts, and it basically disabled a truck by burning through the engine manifold in a matter of seconds. Now, that's some power right there. So little tiny drones probably did not stand much of a chance. Here's this article I was talking about T-Mobile earlier. T-Mobile, hey, Gordon. T-Mobile claims it will give free internet to 10 million homes as Sprint merger goes through. So they're trying to sweeten the spot, sweeten the pot, trying to get this deal done. T-Mobile CEO John Legere announced that if his company merger with Sprint closes, the new T-Mobile would roll out a program to help provide children access across the country with greater access to the internet and close the homework gap. Well, I'm going to tell you, big Wi-Fi gaps in rural America. They can start there by putting 5G in rural America. But T-Mobile is calling its project 10 million, and it aims to provide 10 million households with free access to the internet. It's a $10 billion commitment from the proposal. New T-Mobile will take place over the next 5 years. The company has vowed to invest another $700 million to put hardware hotspots and reduce cost devices in 10 million households to help deliver access. Eligible families receive up to 100 gigs of free internet access each year, one free Wi-Fi enabled hotspot, and the option to purchase select Wi-Fi enabled devices at the company's cost. So, but 100 gigs a year is nothing. You can burn 100 gigs of data if you're just doing no streaming, just doing email, web surfing, you know, maybe a small video. You can burn that in 3 months. When I was on mobile, I was watching no Netflix, no YouTube, just email, basic Facebook, just doing basic online stuff. And I was burning 20 to 30 gigs a month. So that 100 gigs is not going to go very far. So I'm kind of tongue in cheek on this, really, to be frank. It sounds great, but 100 gigs is, you know, I guess for someone that doesn't have any data, it would be good. But T-Mobile is also teasing its $15 5G plan and other post-merger initiatives. T-Mobile will offer a $15 per month prepaid 5G plan to customers. The plan will include two gigabits a month a data allowance, in addition to unlimited talk and text. At $15, the plan is half the price of T-Mobile's current cheapest plan. For $25 per month, customers can upgrade to a plan with 5G of monthly data. Additionally, T-Mobile says it will offer 500 megs of data to both plans every year, or add 500 megs of data to both plans every year for up to 5 years. But there's a couple of things to keep in mind here. Even with T-Mobile adding to the monthly data allotment, you'll burn through your data allowance faster than you would on LTE. It's fast. Moreover, take advantage of those 5G speeds. You need to purchase one of two 5G phones T-Mobile plans to offer on December 6th. The Note 10 Plus, not cheap. Or the OnePlus 7 Pro G 5G McLaren, not cheap. Again, both those phones, you know, the lowest one starts at $699. Alongside Connect, T-Mobile also announced a 10-year commitment to providing first responders with free 5G access. The carrier said we'll give every first responder at every public and nonprofit, state and local police, fire, and EMS a free 5G plan with unlimited talk, text, and data as part of its Connecting Heroes initiative. Now, they're stepping up. They're trying to get this deal closed. And, you know, just like any other merger, what did AT&T do? They put a whole bunch of stuff on the table. And then, yeah, they delivered it, but those incentives run out. So I don't know where you're at on this merger. It's, you know, Sprint's not going to survive without it. Let's be frank. So we'll see where we go with this. If you watch a lot of YouTube, YouTube for desktop has added richer video previews and easier channel muting. And also has a queue feature. I'd like to have that. That queue feature would be good because I'd like to say queue, 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 queue. Because there's a couple channels I like to watch, but it always pushes me into something I don't want to watch when it gets done. So I like the ability of having a queue, a video, and it's, I don't want to go off recommendations. I want to go off the stuff that I'm subscribed to, off my channels. Play it consecutively. Don't drive me into something that YouTube thinks is cool. Apple's had to release another iOS 13 update to fix the background app issue. Supposedly, we talked about this on the last episode where background apps were closing a lot faster and people were complaining about it. So this didn't take too long. Apple's released 13.2.2 along with a corresponding iPad OS update. And again, it stops apps from closing so quickly. And it should behave much like it did before 13.2 arrived. So they've been punching out the updates in a hurry. Uber, oh boy. They may be in trouble and Waymo might be in the money. In 2017, Waymo accused Uber of stealing autonomous driving trade secrets. And we know that there's an individual over there that probably brought some code over. And you may have thought that the Uber-Waymo legal battle was over. Well, as part of their settlement, Uber agreed to pay around $245 million, but at the same time, the parties brought in an independent software expert to review Uber's software and make sure it didn't misappropriate Waymo's intellectual property. Well, well, well. The review is complete, and Uber admits the findings are not good. In its 10Q filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission, the company says the independent software expert recently made adverse findings. In the filing, Uber said it will likely have to pay a license fee or change its design, which could delay its plans for self-driving taxis and hurt the brand. Any intellectual property claim against us, regardless of merit, could be time-consuming, expensive to settle or litigate, and could divert our management attention and other resources and could hurt goodwill associated with our brand. So in other words, they're getting ready to write a check. And this has to do with Waymo self-driving LiDAR technology. So, the story was corrected. In fact, that Uber's disclosure today is not related to the case involving Anthony Lewandowski. So this is something completely separate. Oh, boy. Watch out. Here we go. Oh, what am I getting here? The world's smallest 8K 360 camera can fit in your product. And this is called Kandao. So this is either a Korean or Chinese, a Kandao Qcam, Q-K-O-O, Cam, 8K, may pose a threat to Insta360 and GoPro. And I'm telling you, a lot of these companies are coming. It's crazy, but this is a $589 device, and it's an 8K, very seamless, does on-screen editing. It looks to be very powerful. So if you're into 360 cameras, this may be one for you. $589 on the price tag on it. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. Twitter, though, is trying to do something here that is interesting. And I have to agree, some things they've got in the pipeline will make me very happy. So some features that are going to come in 2020. The ability to remove yourself from a conversation. I get added to conversations every single day. And it's stuff sometimes I don't want to be in because it's controversy. It might be a competitor. They'll say, hey, at Geek News, what do you think about this that's going on over here? And I don't want to say anything, but people are, you know, coaxing me on. If I have the ability to say, remove me from this conversation, it would be good. They also are making a feature where you don't allow retweeting of a tweet. You also have the ability to don't allow people to at mention you without permission. And also there's remove this at mention from this conversation and tweet this only to a hashtag interest or those of friends. So there's some features come in to basically be able to remove yourself or restrict people from using you as part of a conversation. So I think that's going to be very, very cool to have. And they also want people to start, they're going to have some emojis. So oftentimes you don't know someone's smiling or grinning or wincing or whatever. So there's going to be some emojis added to replies. So Twitter trying to do some cleanup here. Dropbox, boy, they did okay this past quarter, but their stock got a little bit hammered. And the shares bounced around after the company's reported better than expected third quarter earnings today. They included 13 cents per share versus 11 cents per share as expected. The company lost 4 cents per share, higher than 1 cent per share loss from a year ago. The revenue was $428.2 million versus $423.5 million as expected, and Dropbox revenue increased 19% on an analyzed basis. That's faster than the 18% they expected. The company had about 14 million paying users in the third quarter, and they thought there would only be about 13.89. So let's see here. Why did they get hammered on the stock? They expect to have $1.65 billion to $1.659 billion in full-year revenue versus $1.652. So, you know, the company's doing okay, but yet the stock dropped after the announcement. You just never know what the stock market's going to do you? Disney has announced that it will stream on Amazon's Fire TV platform at launch. So, yeah, you get to throw them another $5. Or $69.99 a year for Disney Plus. Start doing the math, folks, on all these streaming services you're using. Start doing the monthly breakdown. FX, I don't even know what's on FX. FX entire show archives arrives on Hulu next March. The network will also produce original shows for the streaming service. So I don't think I've even watched any shows on FX. Does anybody, what is the shows? FX will put a number of original shows. The 8-episode Misery's Devs, Mrs. America, The Teacher, The Old, I've not watched any of this stuff. So anyway, about 40 shows being brought to Hulu. Did you know that NASA still had untouched Apollo moon rock from 40 years ago? They don't have much. They have a little bit left. So NASA's unsealed one of its last untouched samples of Apollo moon rock to prepare for the return of new materials by future lunar missions. Scientists at the Johnson Space Center Lunar Curation Laboratory in Houston opened the Apollo 17 recovered sample on Tuesday, the 1.5-inch wide 4-centimeter tube holding the small stash of moon rocks and dust was sealed by astronaut Gene Cernan and Harrison Schmitt during the second of their 3 moonwalks on December 12, 1972. The 15 ounces of moon material collected as part of a core sample taken near the rim of Larak Crater has remained unopened but not under vacuum since being brought to Earth 47 years ago. So it's a core sample, and there's two halves to it. And this is the bottom half. And apparently NASA has two more core samples that will remain sealed for an unknown date. But they're basically practicing for new material. Lots of new technology too, right? All right, so I might need another Roomba. I got one in Hawaii. I don't have one here. My floor in here in Michigan is 2,000 square foot. It's a big open space. Vacuum, it's going to suck. I might just have one of those automated robots run around. It's mostly hard floors with some throw rugs down. So the folks at Android Central has a review of robots, talking about the iRobot Roomba 960 as being one of the best, and then a Cadillac model being another iRobot model that actually dumps itself into a, it self-empties. I don't really need that. I don't need to spend $1,000 on an iRobot Roomba i7 Plus. I know that there's some knockoffs out there. What are you guys using? We've got one at the office that in Columbus that runs in the afternoon. It kind of annoys me why they haven't run in the afternoon. I think it's a Oofy. Seems to do an okay job. Gets hung up as much as the Roombas do. So have you guys bought a remote vacuum lately? A robot vacuum? What are you using? I like the iRobots, the Roombas. I do like them a lot. But boy, you pay a premium for them. Maybe I want to go back to Hawaii, see if they're actually using the one at home. And if they aren't, I'll put it in the suitcase and bring it back with me. But I'm sure they're using it. Lots of Black Friday deals starting to come out. We've got the phone and carrier deals have been announced. That'll be up in the show notes for you. Nintendo is building a Mario Kart 8 Deluxe with the Switch for Black Friday. It's a free game, but will only for the original Hack 001 model. So something there that's some sort of a bundle. A lot of bundles always come out around Thanksgiving. Facebook has been subpoenaed for a refusal by California to make its privacy probe public. The California AG wants the court to require Facebook to submit the documents it's been requesting, and Facebook's been giving the strong arm. But this is the first time anyone's even known that the California state attorney has been looking or investigating Facebook's privacy dealings over the past 18 months. And, you know, what happened is when the FTC probed Facebook, they basically refused. I didn't know you could actually do that. But they paid $5 billion to settle it. And then the state of California is asking for the same information and Facebook is refusing. So I wonder if they're just going to ready to write a check here. But the attorney general said in a press release that his office now has to disclose a probe because it's taking legal action that make it public. In particular, he and his team want the San Francisco County Superior Court to compel Facebook to comply with requests for additional Cambridge Analytica-related documents. The California AG wants to see copies of communications between executives such as Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook CEO Sheryl Sandberg, as well as documents related to news stories about the fiasco published by The Guardian and other publications. They're not going to give this up, not without a fight. But I didn't know companies could actually refuse. Does a company get held in contempt? Do the executives get held in contempt? How does that work? Google's launching what's called App Defense Alliance. It's to help catch bad Android apps. Google Play Store is home to millions of useful apps, but it isn't always safe from software that hosts malware or obnoxious adware. Recently, the company has been attempting to clean up the Play Store and uses it to push security updates. Untrustworthy app developers found themselves in Google's crosshairs, with major developers being banned from the store due to ad fraud. Now, as part of Google's crusade against dangerous apps, the company has set up a partnership with security firm ESET, Lookout, and Zimperium. They're calling it the App Defense Alliance, working to stop bad apps before they reach users' devices by checking new apps that are queued for publication on the Play Store and booting out those which are dangerous. Google is interacting the scanning system for each security group into its Play Protect detection system that scans apps for malware and other threats. The partner companies will also analyze data about app threats to hopefully scoop up any more malicious apps before they're published. So interesting. The App Defense Alliance is needed now more than ever. A recent report by malware researcher Lucas DeFranco found 172 harmful apps in the Play Store with more than 335 million combined installs. Crazy. All right, Best Buy. They've got a big, big announcement for Black Friday. It's iPad sales. They got Apple Watch sales. What else? That's just a few of the things so far. They got a $250 iPad offer. I don't know which one that is. Which one is it? It's $80 or $100 off, including the latest version. One of the highlights is the Wi-Fi 32 gig space gray model for just $249. There's an iPad Pro 84, $150 to $200 off. Consider getting a HomePod. I've got one of those. It's junk. Junk. Sounds great, but it's worthless. Anyway, so we'll see more deals coming here soon. AMD unveils its next-gen Threadripper CPUs up to 32 gigs, 32 cores. I can't talk tonight. So again, it's a CPU built with 7 nanometer Zen 2 architecture and performance looks impressive. There's 32 core variant, the TR3960X. Those chips and motherboards are aimed at content creators because extra cores and higher PCIe 4.0 bandwidth won't help gamers much. Oh, so it's folks that are like me doing encoding and stuff. Oh, awesome. Again, not chips that are being really advantageous for gamers. Netflix CEO saying more time spent streaming matters more than subscriptions. And he unveils his take on the so-called streaming wars. And he says he doesn't have a beef with other streaming services, actually planning on subscribing to Disney Plus. But he says what it's really about is time spent, how long someone spends in a specific app or on a specific platform. And there's a lot of people coming at him, but he's really saying that even though we're looking at how much time is spent streaming on our platform versus others. I think that's a pretty good measure. You know, when you look at streaming hours versus subscribers, it tells how well they're going to maintain and hold customers. So according to the Wall Street Journal, the Saudis have backed Travis Kalanick's new startup. He invested $400 million in Cloud Kitchen in January. So according to people familiar with the situation, a deal that could value the operator's so-called ghost kitchens at about $5 billion. The Saudis' fund agreement with Cloud Kitchens was completed in January. The people said it was the fund's first known deal in Silicon Valley. Cloud Kitchens is a bet on food delivery boom. It buys cheaper rundown real estate, often near city centers, where it builds commissary kitchens, also known as ghost kitchens, then rents that to restaurants wanting to prepare food exclusively for delivery services like Grubhub and DoorDash. Now, ghost kitchens are used a lot for food trucks. In Hawaii, they're really strict on food trucks and prepping. Most of the prep is actually done in commissaries. It's kitchens that are, again, in nondescript buildings. They have, you know, the full sanitation and everything set up to be, you know, to handle food. And I understand what they're doing here. So this is interesting. Cloud kitchens. You know, in big cities, I talk to people all the time and they don't cook no more. They just have food brought to them. And that is not the case here. Where I live, if you want a pizza delivered, you have to drive 2 miles to meet the pizza driver because they won't come all the way to where I'm at. So, we're not going to get food delivered out here in rural America. In the cities, you will. But this is an interesting move here. I think they may be on to something with in areas that have, you know, big enough populations. Another article in the Wall Street Journal, Facebook feared WhatsApp was a threat ahead of the 2014 purchase. Internal emails could serve as fodder for regulators studying the social network's business practices. In the months before acquiring WhatsApp, Facebook executives described the messaging service and others like it was a threat to the company's core business. And a trove of internal Facebook documents published Wednesday, including email chains and presentations. Zuckerberg and other executives repeatedly called messaging apps, including WhatsApp, a threat to Facebook and its own chat app. The danger is perceived to be mounting as the social network usage moved from desktop to smartphones. So they went and bought them. Why not, right? Is there anything illegal with buying up your competition? No. Except when you get too big, people don't like it. Of course, Facebook announced its purchase of WhatsApp in February and closed the roughly $22 billion in October. The acquisition, as well as the company's 2012 purchase of photo sharing app Instagram for $715 million, they stole it, has been a focus of antitrust regulators. So looking to whether Facebook purchased technology startups to keep them from challenging its empire. Of course, it's done every day. So, but you get too big, you're considered antitrust. So anyway, that's what we've got in the news today. Let me see if I've got any email that has come in. Don't think I have. And let me look here, make sure. Don't think so. I had a couple of texts come in, but I don't have my phone in front of me. Let's see if I do. Wait a minute. Do I have the phone here? No, I do not. Because Michael Dare. Michael, you got to email me. You have an Android phone. You send it to my phone. I don't have it on my messenger here. So you have to start emailing me, dude. I don't keep the phone near the, usually near me when I'm doing the show. I need to start doing that. But everyone, thanks for being here. Geeknews@gmail.com. Don't forget about our sponsors. We want you to take care of the folks in your families. Make sure they get them online. Get them started. Give them a reason to do something cool like creating content. And GoDaddy is a great way to get started. Again, not too early to go Christmas shopping there. But we definitely want you to pick up products and services. Share the codes with your friends, family members, people that you know. Link to my page at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That will help me as well. And of course, if you want to become an insider, it's great to consider the geek here on your Christmas list this year. To give an ongoing gift of $2, $5, $10, $15, or $25 a month. If every listener of this show signed up for the $2 plan, it'd be awesome. But we don't think we'll ever get that. We've been promoting it for a long, long time. So we hope that you'll consider adding us to your Christmas shopping list this year and do a one-year subscription here by becoming an insider. All right, everyone, thanks for being here. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. We'll see you on Monday. We'll have a regular show on Monday. No show on next week, Thursday, because I'm going to be in Los Angeles. You'll be able to catch the new media show live, though. We're going to be broadcasting live from a Digital Hollywood event. I'll be back on Friday, flying back on Friday. Then Saturday the 15th, we'll probably have a new media show. But other than that, I get snow tires on my car on Saturday the 15th or 16th, excuse me. So, yes, the life of living in Michigan, where it actually this morning we had a dusting of snow. So while everyone else was laughing at me in Hawaii, enjoying 80 plus degree weather. All right, everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of families. We'll see you next time here. And those of you who are on the live stream tonight, thank you so much. And Mike and everyone else that was on, Chris, Scott, all one that checked in today, thank you for being part of the live crew that was watching the show. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Everyone take care. Bye-bye.